it's you.
Good morning, sunshine. Hey, guess what? I just called Autotech, and they decided to make an order. So according to my calculations, that puts us over the mark.
We did it?
We did it.
Yes! Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Yikes.
Don't run away from your feelings.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Track, kindly produce a sound. Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Homemade Broadcast. Will Coons here. HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Good day. How are you? I'm good. Trying something a little different this time. Going to try to record this early in the morning and then get my guest on later in the evening because I'm a very busy man now and I have to figure out ways to work around this new schedule. So I probably sound sleepy as heck, and good reason for that because I, in fact, am. Pretty tired right now. Just woke up. So I don't know if my brain's functioning on full cylinders. I got my iced coffee that I made last night in preparation to do my little intro here before we get to the guest. So we're going to try to do this. So another week, another surefire way to be frustrated on the internet. I really do believe that if Twitter was around back during the World War II days, that the Nazis would have won the war. It is the biggest propaganda machine I think I've ever stumbled across in my brief time on this planet. Very effective, the best way to start online mob that I've ever seen in the entire world. All you got to do is put a hashtag either in front or behind of your tweet before you send it out, and you are part of the collective. You are part of the mob that is spewing just crazy stuff that people probably shouldn't be having a written record of on their personal accounts. Last night, there was another shooting. A cop shot a black dude again, as tends to happen. I really don't think this is happening more than usual. I think that the media is picking up every time it happens, though. Now, and this time it was in Charlotte. Dude got killed. I don't know what happened yet, so I'm not going to say. Who knows? Maybe they did just shoot the guy. I don't know. This is one of those things, though. That sounds pretty rich, doesn't it? Just for a cop to come up and be like, ah, and then blow the guy's head off. It sounds a little too crazy to be true. I guess it could happen, and I don't know yet, so I'm going to hold off and wait. But the thing that annoyed me about it, though, was that of course, on Twitter, they're, you know, screaming at the police. And I saw a video of a dude in Charlotte that was in the protest. Because now these online protests will move so quickly into the streets because they're so easy to organize. Because there's just a hashtag will do it. Which is a great thing, by the way. I'm not trying to insinuate that's not good. Keeps us more in contact. But it's also a little scary what this can do. A bunch of officers were hurt in Charlotte, and I saw a video of a dude saying, don't be surprised when we start shooting first now. Without waiting to hear what happened, automatically it is the wrongdoing of the police department and threatening to murder police officers, pretty much, which is pretty cool. Which I don't understand that mentality, because I think you're outmanned and outgunned, dude. The cops are the biggest gang in America, so I don't think it's going to go too well for you guys if you continue to do or if you threaten cops. I saw the one in Tulsa, too, which was very sad. A lady cop shot that one dude. Here's the thing about this, though, too. It's the cops had guns on this guy, right? And he went to the car and was reaching into the car and said something about it's going to blow up. I think he was talking about his car. He thought his engine was going to blow up or something. It sounds like if I had guns, this is just me. Maybe I'm just a coward. But if I had guns pointed at me, I would be frozen in fear and urinating in my pants. I don't understand why this guy's just walking around with guns pulled on him. It's astounding to me. You can't do that, though. I mean, you gotta. If guns are on you, they're obviously suspicious. So, and you know the climate, the way it is now, they're obviously pretty willing to shoot. So I would just not move and figure out the situation first before you go reaching in your car. Not blaming that guy, but, I mean, just use your head. I mean, you know what the climate is now, right? You know how you hear about these things every day. So, so this one website on the Charlotte thing, which really bugged me, was, what is this website called? Where is it? What's in my mentions? Gossip on This. It's a small online publication, which you shouldn't be getting your news from Gossip on This, of course, because it just doesn't sound like it's probably a reputable source there. So they had the officer's name instantly. I think his name is Brentley Vissen or something like that, which was weird. That's a weird name. And it ended up, you think Brentley, that's kind of sounds like a white guy. Uh-oh. And then, no, it was a black guy. And I Googled it. I found him, his photo, and then I found his dad's LinkedIn profile. His dad's a PI in North Carolina. He was a black dude. This Gossip on This website, this is the first story on Google News, by the way, when you Googled the man's name, had an outline, a cropped photograph of the picture that I found of the white guy, white officer, in the photo. So what's the issue here? What's going on? So I tweeted at them the picture, the real Brentley, Officer Brentley Vissen, I believe his name was, tweeted a picture of him, and then I pictured their photo of the white dude, white officer, that was they pictured in their story, and said, are you just bad at your job, or are you intentionally trying to spread false information? And I believe this, they got back to me pretty quick. I saw a few other people had pointed it out as well, and they seemed very like, oh, my God, they seemed mortified that they did this, which I believe that they probably were. I think it was an accident on their ends. Their excuse was is that they just looked at the description of the photo, the names under the photo, just went with that, and that's who they recognized in the photo as Officer Vissen. So I do believe it was a mistake, and they responded back to me saying, we've already changed the photo on our end. You'll see if you click on the post, still waiting for Google to accept the changes. But the damage is already done at that point, right? Probably millions of people have tweeted out this poor dude in the photo as the trigger man on this killing that happened in Charlotte. And his face is out there, and they're threatening to kill these cops that do this. I mean, this guy's got to be scared out of his mind. I certainly would be. And it's not even him. It's just some other Charlotte cop that's just, you know, happened to be in that photo at the time of day when they took it. So they responded back that they had changed it. And I believe them that they are sympathetic and it was an honest mistake. But it's done. The damage is done now. And now you have this poor guy, whoever he is, they didn't identify him, what his name is, but they still know what he looks like. And people don't read. They look at the headline. And that's the sad fact, too, of today, is that they're not going to look this up. They're not going to fact check this. I'm sure there are some people with that photo printed up on their wall on top of a bullseye right now just because of that. Like I said, I know they're sympathetic. I know it was an accident. So I just responded back, oh, okay, so you're bad at your job because 3 minutes of fact-checking on your story I know it takes 3 minutes because that's how long it took me to fact check this story here, to which they didn't respond, which I'm not surprised. There's a rush to break these stories, and you want to be the first ones. And this gossip on this website had probably never gotten this sort of traffic coming into their site before because it looks like they were the first to break it. I don't know how Google News aggregates, but it looks like since they were the first one that they actually kind of broke the story there. But, God, is it worth potentially somebody's life for 3 minutes of your time to maybe be the second or third article listed? I mean, maybe not to a lot of these people. Maybe it doesn't matter. But it is, it's pretty scary, man, that the climate is, let's not hear everybody's side of the story here. Let's just get one side and we'll just go with mob rule and we'll just, you know, just start shooting cops, which you're going to lose that war. There's no way that people are going to win the war against the police. Because if the police start losing, the National Guard's going to roll in. And the National Guard rolls in. Martial law is taking place, and then it's just a military operation in your city. Not to say it's fruitless, of course. I mean, we should always be able to fight back. But that's what always astonishes me about some of the BLM movement is that they don't want guns. They only want cops to have guns, which that's not going to be good for you if what you're saying is happening. If you don't have guns to protect yourself. Another thing, too, was that they were saying it was in Charlotte, North Carolina, that it's an open carry state. So just having a gun is not enough. Yeah, that's true. But if he has it in his hands and he's using it in a threatening manner, then, yeah, you might get shot. I don't know if that's what happened or not. I'm just saying that seems like a more reasonable thing that had happened. But the family swears up and down it didn't have a gun. Cops said they recovered a gun. I've had my own run-ins, brief run-ins with the cops many years ago. I know they lie. I've had my own moment. If you know me personally, you've probably heard the hilarious tale of my run-in with the St. Petersburg police. But, yeah, I know they lie. It's certainly possible. But I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. It's a frustrating time to be alive. But also, there's never been more information. There's never been more disinformation. It's a double-edged sword, this information at your fingertips thing. But just, I mean, fact check, look things up. I can't stress that enough. Please don't flip out. I know it's sensitive right now, and I know a lot of people are telling you one thing, but wouldn't you want to find out for yourself rather than being told by some anonymous person on the screen? Just look into it. You have Google. Type in anything you want, and you have a vast array of knowledge right at your fingertips. Anywho, this podcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa. My girl, Chrissy Parker, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, here in St. Petersburg. Make an appointment, 727-329-9751, and truvysalonandspa.com. Chrissy does good work, so make sure you go see her. And, of course, Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue, here in St. Petersburg. They got food now. They got daily food and drink specials. Pop in anytime and see them, facebook.com/SlyBarSt. Pete. And I believe they just have SlyBar.com, which I don't know how in the heck they managed to buy that domain before anybody else. Because there are a lot of Sly Bars. I think there's one in Paris or something, in France. I remember they had this Google Reviews thing, and they were talking about one of the bartenders. They got a really bad review, I guess, on their Google page. And the guy said that the bartender was really rude, and he hit on the guy's 17-year-old daughter and offered to sell her cocaine. And I was like, Lando did that? That's automatically what came to my mind, because I always see Lando. And I was like, that doesn't sound like Lando. Lando is a monster in his own way, but that doesn't sound like something Lando would do. And then it turns out that they actually meant the Sly Bar in France. That's the one they were looking for. But again, people don't read. They don't double check. So they'll just, you know, throw it out there and then, you know, kind of ruin the reputation of another place. Just for fun. Not for fun, but out of laziness, I guess, is probably more than anything. So check those people out. Thank you. I appreciate it. We're getting ready to record the new City Hall broadcast today, actually. So that's why I'm recording this intro early. I hope it sticks and doesn't vanish, because sometimes these things, like, if you leave them idle for a period of time, the recording just stops. So hopefully I don't have to do this again. That would be awful for me. But anywho, so we're getting ready to record the City Hall broadcast. I'm recording this. I'm heading to my day job. I'm coming home. I'm walking to City Hall. And then I'm going to meet up with Kevin and Ben. And this week we're going to have Nina Mahmoudi. Nina Mahmoudi is the marketing manager for the city of St. Petersburg. So we're going to talk about some new web and TV programming that are going to be happening on the stpete.org website. You can check that out on the on Radio St. Pete on Monday morning, 7:10, and then it replays throughout the day. And then always on the Radio St. Pete archive. If you just go to RadioSt.Pete.com and then click the archive section, you can get the homemade broadcast and many other local programming from people here in town, including the jazz show. We got Indie Circuit. There's so many things that are happening. And keep up on their Facebook, RadioSt.Pete.com, or sorry, Facebook.com/RadioSt.Pete. That's just radio and then STPETE. And follow the HMB radio page as well, Facebook.com/HMB Radio. Hotel Mike Bravo Radio.com. And then I'm on Twitter at @home_made_man. I'll certainly fight with you on Twitter if you want. I have a good time doing that. Made the mistake of doing that last night. And then I looked at the dude's profile picture, and he looked like he might have had something wrong with him. So then I kind of felt bad. So I just let it go. So if you want to fight with me, feel free to give me a little tweet action, and I will respond in kind. You can get in contact with the show on voicemail or text message. If you just text the number 813-693-2124, we'll always available there. Just leave a message or leave a text message, and it's a good way to keep in contact. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher to the podcast. You got mine, you got James Bailey's, my mom's favorite podcast, and the City Hall broadcast, and more coming. I say that all the time. Right when I think something good and finally something's going to happen, then I don't hear from anybody for a month. So, yeah, and the only other thing I got is September 28th, I'm going to be Roastmaster for Kyle Roos's birthday. So this coming, by the time this airs, will be this coming Wednesday. And then after Mosquito Teeth is going to play down at Foo Bar, right in downtown here, which I don't have very much prepared yet. I don't think Kyle expects a lot out of me. He just wants me to kind of keep the show moving along. But I've written a few jokes, and Zach Townsend has been helping me out, sending me a few things here and there. So thanks, Zach. Appreciate that. A lot of these guys, man, I haven't seen in a long time. I don't even know what to say about them. Like, some of the guys I know, there's always something to pick on. But, I mean, like, Greg Maxwell, I haven't seen in years and years. And he's going to be on there. I actually started, when we started doing comedy, it was he was the guy that kind of started us out. So I'm sure I'll think of something. I'll do everything like I do in life. I'll do it the day before or a couple hours before and get it done, and we'll do it. But it should be a great time. Mosquito Teeth is it's a heavy band, boy. People love them. Great local outfit here. And then there's some really funny people on the roast, too. So if you get some comedy, you get some music on a Wednesday night, it should be a blast. I think that's it. Okay, so this week on the show we have Owen Harn. Owen's going to call in. I wanted him to come in, but Owen is a new daddy, and I believe his lady works in the evening time, so he's on baby duty during this time. So we're going to call him. Hopefully the phone works better this time. I actually want to try to just set my phone next to this recorder and see what happens. Okay, so far so good. Not a problem. All right, so we'll see when I come back home, and hopefully I get to use this section of the podcast. I think that went well, frankly. I'm pretty impressed with how smoothly my brain, maybe I should start doing these in the morning. I was able to have more concise thoughts. But anyway, so Owen is an actor. He's been in, he's had a lot of little roles in TV. He was on The Walking Dead. He was in, what else was he? He was in Max. He was the bad guy in that movie, Max. I should pull up his IMDb. But things have been just popping off for him. He keeps getting role after role. He was just in Vice Principals on HBO. He played a pretty small role, but a pretty hard-hitting one. That was, he kind of stole the show, I thought, during that episode. Really good dude. Lives in town. I asked him last time if he was going to potentially move. And he goes, no, don't think so. So I wonder if that's changed. Because, you know, Atlanta is a big gem of the South for filming, so that's an $80 plane ride. And then I know, I hope he probably can't talk about it at all, but he got a role. I know he's going to be on the new season of Game of Thrones, which is super exciting because I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan. It's pretty much the only show that I watch on TV. I don't even know if he knows what he's playing yet, but that's really awesome. So things are really going well for Owen. So I'm looking forward to talking to him, and let's just, I guess, get to it. We'll give him a buzz, chat with him, see what's going on with actor Owen Horn. All right, Owen Horn, welcome back, sir.
All right, thank you for having me back.
It's good to have you. Got to work over these minor tech issues. You know, it's 2016, but nothing is perfect yet, and I don't know if it ever will be.
Yeah, no, I understand that completely.
Can you imagine the first people that jump into a teleportation machine, how scared they're going to be?
Yeah, where am I going to end up? Who am I going to end up with? End up back with the ex-wife, that would be a nightmare.
Oh, boy. Yeah. None of that. So what's up, man? You've been up to a lot since the last time you were here.
Yeah. I've been fortunate enough to be working a lot, and lots of great projects that have come out and coming out soon next year as well. So yeah, it's been a busy for me, so that's all I can ask for.
And you're the proud father of a newborn too.
Yeah, he's three months old now. So
was that a planned thing, or was it a happy surprise?
It was, you know, kind of both. You know, I mean, I was planning it, just not. I wasn't planning it this year. I was planning for next year.
Right.
I guess I just got him a little early.
Yeah, that's what my mom told me too. She's like, you know, you were a happy accident, and I'm like, okay, so I was an accident. I know what that means. I think I was a Valentine's Day baby because I was born in November, so 9 months. That's like right around Valentine's Day.
Yeah, no, this baby, you know, we had talked about it, but we were just planning to start trying, you know, we were going to start trying this year and have one for 2017, but yeah, just a year early, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you know, it happens, life happens, what can you do?
Halfway planned.
So, I was looking at your IMDb page earlier today, and it is filling up quick. Tell me all the things you've been working on this year.
Let's see. I did Quarry, and that just came out last Friday, and that's really turned into a huge hit show. I mean, it's like Cinemax's next great thing. I mean, it's from the same executive producers from Banshee and Fox's House.
Okay.
And yeah, this just blows Banshee right out of the water. I mean, it's very gritty. It's based in 1972, about a soldier who gets out of the army with PTSD and trying to just adapt to life and becomes like this hitman. So it's a very interesting story.
And you play a character, Joe Don? What's he about?
Yeah, I play a character, Joe Don, which is, ironically, it's funny, my best friend's name is Joe Dunn, so, you know, we got a laugh out of that. So, yeah, I'm the guns dealer, and he comes in, and I try to rip them off, and they end up taking me out and taking my gun business. So, yeah, I don't want to ruin everything. Spoiler alert.
still going on, then. So, are you going to make a...
It's already aired, though.
Were you a one and done, or...?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just guest starred on there, and yeah, had a nice little brutal death. And yeah, I also was on Devious Maids, did 5 episodes of that. I was guest starring as Killface.
What is Devious Maid? Sounds like it airs on what's the life like a Lifetime?
Yeah,
station.
It's on Lifetime. It's from the same creators of Desperate Housewives. So it was comedy, but you know it's a little soap opera-y.
Yeah, no, right.
Still get to play a dirty guy. Just for Lifetime women, though.
Yeah, it was funny because I was watching Vice Principals, and I saw one of the upcoming episodes, and I was like, holy crap, that's Owen. I know him. And sure enough, he popped up the next week and kind of stole the show in that one.
Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, that was probably definitely my favorite role I've ever done. Yeah, Vice Principals was a dream come true working with those guys because Dan McBride's, you know, my hero. And he's one of the main reasons why I got back into acting, just because I watched Eastbound and Down and I was like, this is exactly what I want to do. So,
yeah, I like his story too, because wasn't he like tending bar or something in Hollywood, and then he just was like, I'm going home to North Carolina, and then he made Foot Fist Way.
Yeah, they made, I don't know if he was bartending. I know at one time he was a substitute teacher, which I would have loved to have been a fly on that wall. But
I guess that's where the character came from. I guess they kind of just
brought him. Foot Fist Way is really what helped out. But yeah, his time as a substitute teacher, they wrote Vice Principals back in 2006 as a film, and then, you know, there was so much they wanted to cover, so they just did it in 18 episodes. So it's just going to be a 2-season series. So it's just one giant movie, honestly.
But then it gained so much popularity that I guess they kind of got, not forced, but asked to do another season.
Well, they filmed season 1 and 2 at the same exact time. Yeah, it was back-to-back. So, and then they had me audition for it, and yeah, it was awesome to land that gig. You know, I didn't think, you know, I thought it would have gone to somebody else just because, you know, it's a huge show to be a part of.
You're kind of a big hulking guy. You play these characters where you're just like usually an antagonist. Are you afraid of getting typecasted to a certain extent?
Hey, no. I mean, that means I work. If I'm typecasted, that means I get paid. So, you know, I'm all about getting paid and you know, getting the work in. And it beats doing construction, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, bet. Not doing any of that anymore, I take it.
No. Not anymore. My body can't handle it. I got too many stunts to do.
Are you doing your own stunts?
A lot of the times, yeah, 90% of the time I'm doing my own stunts, but then there's, you know, a tiny bit in there that you'll see, you know, somebody else doing it, but it's, yeah, it can be pretty painful.
What was it like getting punched in the face by Danny McBride?
Oh, that was fun. I think it hurt more when I hit the ground, honestly, because there's no padding down. You're just going to fall straight down on the gravel here of your driveway, Jackie. I'm like, okay, absolutely. So, yeah, I had to take a bunch of punches from him and fall down on the ground, and yeah, that was awesome.
Did you hear if maybe you could make a return character in that show? I'm assuming it's coming back for another season.
I don't know if they do a season 3, I don't see why not, but season 2's already filmed, so and I'm not in season 2.
Oh, it is already filmed.
Yeah. They filmed them back to back. So, they wrote everything in 2014. So, they were all these episodes were already written, so they didn't know how I was going to perform and how the audience was going to take to me, so nobody had any idea what was going to be what. So.
Yeah, I noticed your Twitter blew up after the airing of that episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, offers started coming in, you know, the same week. So, yeah, I'm hoping to work on some of these projects that I've got offers on. That'd be nice.
I mean, so you don't even have to audition? You just say yes or no?
sometimes, yeah, you just get offers, and yeah, you don't have to audition because they know what you can do. They'll go off your work, but I mean, yeah, I do still audition all the time. I mean,
you still planning on staying here, or you have any plans to get out west or anything?
I like the Southeast. I mean, I was living in Atlanta, and then I'm back in here. So I'm kind of back and forth between here and Atlanta and New Orleans. So I'm all around the Southeast. Yeah, if they call me out there, if my number's called, then, you know, I'll go out there and play ball. But you know, right now I'm just going to hang out in the minor leagues out here in the Southeast.
Well, it's a good place to be. I mean, pretty much everything's filmed out here anyways. Most of it's filmed in Atlanta and New Orleans. It's got a big tax incentives over there.
Yeah. Absolutely. And when you're a Southeast actor, I mean, they tend to, they'll look at you first, you know, you'll get first dibs, and they'll say, okay, let's see if we have it here first before we go to LA and New York, you know, then we'll go to the major stars. So
I was super stoked because I saw a tweet from you that said, I'm going to be in Game of Thrones next year, and I freaked out, but apparently that's not the case.
I never said I was going to be in Game of Thrones. It says waiting for my role on Game of Thrones is what I tweeted on there. So I was just hinting at HBO saying, hey, you know.
I guess that's my fault for not reading.
I'm ready to work on Game of Thrones already.
Do you watch that show? It's the best.
Yeah, no, I do watch it. It's a great show. You know, it's huge. So I've been on some, you know, really big show so far with Walking Dead and Vice Principals and Corey. You know, I want to add Game of Thrones to the list.
That'd be great. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for you.
Shoot for the stars.
You got, I'm looking at this at your IMDb, and what's this random Tropical Paradise? Wasn't that filmed here?
Yeah, that was filmed in St. Petersburg, mainly on, yeah, St. Pete Beach. Yeah, it was a comedy I was involved with Ryan Greenberg and Brooks Whelan. Brian Greenberg's been all over the place. You'd see him on How to Make It in America on HBO, and Brooks Whelan was a regular on Saturday Night Live. So working with those guys was, you know, hilarious, and I've stayed in touch with Brooks.
Yeah, he was just here, wasn't he? He was at Crowbar.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's a funny guy. So
wasn't Zach Galifianakis in it too?
No, he was. Yeah, he wasn't in that. I don't know what Zach was.
Oh, it was another stand-up. Kyle Kinane, right?
Who?
Kyle Kinane, was it?
Oh, I can't think of the right name. Yeah, it was Kyle Kinane. Yeah, I worked with him too. Yeah, he was funny dude. But yeah, that was that should be, I don't know if that's going theaters or straight to DVD or Netflix. I mean, you never can tell with some of these movies.
Well, it seems like Netflix is the place to be anyways now.
Yeah. And that was a smaller budget film. I mean, it was funny. We did some funny stuff on there, but you never can tell where it's going to go when it's a film.
Yeah, true.
They have to do an audience test and say, okay, do you think this is ready for the big screen? If not, then we'll test our luck on Amazon or wherever. I mean, because everybody's streaming everything nowadays.
Right. What's the percentage of movies that actually get into the theater that are actually made?
I don't have the actual stat, but, I mean, there's, I would say, 7% of the movies that are made make it to the theater.
Wow.
You know, 7.
See, how
that's my prediction, because so many movies are made every single year,
and
a lot of these don't make it.
I could see how it would work now with Netflix. You'd be okay, but like before, when there was no Netflix, and you're just depending on people to find it at Blockbuster or something like that. I mean, I guess they got to make all this money on these ones that are in the theater to almost break even.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and as actors, you know, we usually make more money on films by DVD sales or rentals, you know, stuff like that. And or TV shows, you know, the commercials really pay our residuals, is what we get, our royalties.
Right.
So, yeah, we got to rely on those commercials.
Have you been getting into, like, thinking about maybe writing or directing anything?
Yeah, I've been writing a series, and I've been in touch with Danny McBride and Jody Hill about it. So, fingers crossed there. I can't really say anything what it is, but, you know, they like my work, which, you know, I'm fortunate that you can get feedback from them, so that was awesome. But, yeah, directing, I would love to direct comedy. I would love to direct a horror film. You know, that's number one on my list right now.
Well, if you need a chubby, long-haired dude, I hope you'll keep me in mind.
Absolutely.
Victim one. I'm okay with that.
Victim. Or you could. I could see you with a meat cleaver.
Yeah. Even better. I like that even better.
Yeah.
So, what's up with the Cowboys, man?
Oh, I'm liking what they're doing. I mean, I didn't predict them to beat the Giants. You know, I predicted the Giants would win the division this year, but, you know, Dak needs to find himself on that field and find out, you know, who his teammates are and who he can trust.
How much did your stomach sink when Romo went down again?
I wasn't nervous at all because I liked what I saw from Dak Prescott. I mean, he very comfortable, poised in the pocket. You know, he's not making any mistakes. He didn't throw any interceptions in the preseason. Knock on wood, he hasn't thrown any in the regular season. He's, you know, went on the road last week and beat a Washington team that, you know, probably should have beat us.
Yeah, I think there was high hopes for Washington, but they stink.
Yeah, they are horrible. I mean, you know, they won that division by default last year anyway.
Yeah.
I'm glad the Cowboys stunk it up and got the fourth overall pick, but that fourth overall pick really hasn't been doing much.
Who is that?
Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, right. Ohio State, right?
He hasn't really lived up to it in these last two games, but then again, it is the first two games. And people are already calling Alfred Morris because, you know, Zeke fumbled twice last week.
I was going to say cut him some slack, he's a rookie, but really behind that offensive line, there's really no excuse.
No, and three fumbles is just inexcusable. I mean, your first two games, you fumble three times. That's ridiculous. So, I mean, I would go with Alfred Morris in the first half and then ease Zeke back in maybe in the third quarter. But I would trust Alfred right now because he's the veteran. He always plays. He never gets hurt. Knock on wood.
Wasn't he the guy, too, that when he got drafted, he kept his signing bonus and still drove around his really crappy, like, Pontiac that he had? I love that.
It was like a Mazda Protege from, like, 1993 or something.
Yeah, I think some one of those local companies, like the body shops, like, took it in and fixed it up nice for him. I think he still has it.
Oh, yeah, that was a great story. You know, he's a great guy. I mean, you know, I'm glad to have him on our team because, I mean, you can never have enough running backs nowadays with everybody getting injured. And you know, we've got Darren McFadden getting ready to come back after week six.
Oh, is he? I didn't even know he's still on the team.
Yeah, and he's good trade bait right now.
He's a beast, know. Man. When he was with the Raiders the few years, he was killing it, but he could never stay healthy. That was his thing.
Yeah, and then he had that off-the-field injury with his elbow. That's why he's hurt now. But I'm just hoping that they don't trade him to Minnesota if they do trade him.
What's the deal with is Peterson? I know Peterson's hurt. Is he going to be out for a while?
Yeah, they said several months.
Ooh, bummer.
Yeah, they may bring him back for the playoffs.
Do you do the fantasy football thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still got all my buddies I do that with. I've known since high school. So I look forward to that every year. I mean, I love football. I mean, it takes my mind off of, you know, the crazy acting business, because if all I did was act and, you know, were around actors all the time, I would go crazy. You know, I need some kind of normalcy.
Right, yeah, hear that.
You know, I hate when I go out in public and somebody fucking, you know, excuse me, somebody just comes up to me and, you know, just wants to talk to me about acting the whole time, some stranger. And, you know, I dealt with that the other day. I was like, dude, I just hang out with my friends right now. I don't want to talk about that.
Is that happening? I guess that's happening more and more now.
Yeah. So it's happening more and more. And, you know, I don't know. I guess I just got to pin up my hair and wear some sunglasses or something.
Yeah, I guess it just comes with the territory, you know, man. You're kind of like a recognizable dude, too. I mean, you're tall, you're big. I mean, you kind of stand out in a crowd.
Yeah, yeah, but most people think I'm just a wrestler also. I get that a lot.
Is you Triple H? Is you the Undertaker?
Like, yes, I am Triple H and the Undertaker. I play both characters the same time.
I get that all the time, you know.
Well, hey, Owen.
Those guys are like 20 years older than me.
Yeah, they wrestle forever, too. It's amazing what they go through. Well, hey, this connection is terrible. I don't know what's going on with this phone. I hope this is usable. So I'm going to let you go, but give me your social media and stuff where people can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, The Beast of the Southeast, Owen Harn, Twitter, and then my fan page on Facebook, Owen Harn.
Good deal, man. Hey, I appreciate you calling in. When you get a chance, come back in, and we'll talk more.
All right, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
There you go, Owen Harn. Sorry about the connection there. I don't know what the deal with that is. It worked really great that one time when I did the What's Going On. It was pristine, beautiful. It sounded great, and then I've been having trouble ever since. I guess that's what happens when you get confident in something. Technology will find a way to turn it sideways and stick it you know where. So hopefully, sorry about that. I know it was probably hard to listen to. I was listening on my headphones, and I started to get a headache just from the clicking. So I already did half an episode. We got to release it, right? There's no going back now. But thank you, Owen, for calling in. You can catch him soon on a lot of different stuff. Soulmates he's got coming out this year, 2017. And Random Tropical Paradise that was filmed right here in St. Petersburg will be out in 2017. Hopefully it makes it in the theater. That would be great. Kyle Kinane's great. So is Brooks Whelan. I actually tried to get Brooks on the show, but I got no response back. Totally understandable, though. Next week, we're going to have the editor of Suburban Apologist in here. So make sure you tune in for that. Like the Facebook page, facebook.com/HMB Radio. And don't forget to like the Radio St. Pete page as well, facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. All these shows are available in the archive. So tune in whenever you want, on demand. And of course, you can get my show on HMBradio.com. Make sure you subscribe and listen to keep up with what's going on. It only takes a minute, you know, to subscribe. You know, you can rate, give 5 stars. It takes 2 seconds, and it really helps out a lot. So thank you if you do that. If you want to get in touch with us, 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. And email, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Next week, Josh from Suburban Apologist will be stopping in, hopefully. I have to manage my time better. It's getting tough for me, but we'll make it work, as always. I know there's other ways to do phone stuff, too. I like the phone because I can not wear pants, for example, and just do whatever I want. I can be completely nude, and you would be none the wiser when it's on the phone. People are in the apartment. Gets a little weird if you do that. So thank you very much for tuning in. I love you very much for your time, your consideration, and come see me Wednesday at Foo Bar, where I'll be Roastmaster for Kyle Roos's Comedy Extravaganza Roast. We're going to tear that little troll apart. I'm not, but other comics will. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. HMBRadio.com, Will Koontz, Radio St. Pete. Stay tuned if you're listening on Radio St. Pete for the Jazz Show, followed by Indie Circuit. Talk to you next week. See you.